government hands, corporate money.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The White House and Treasury want to keep more tax money, but business isn't going to like it. A handful of big banks say they're less stressed than Uncle Sam has painted them, but if that's the case, why are some of them raising capital? It's the morning open. Less than a half an hour into the trading day, we ask the question, where's Wall Street? Dow is up more than a percent, 1.1% at this hour, 93 points. NASDAQ up about a percent, as is the S&P 500. Asian markets up big time today, although the Nikkei was on holiday. The Hang Seng rocketed up 5.5%, and European markets are mostly up as well. In just a couple of hours, President Obama and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner will put forward a proposal that would keep a lot of money in tax coffers. It's a plan that would save the government more than $210 billion over the next decade. Here's Marketplace's Steve Henn.
U.S. companies are able to shelter a lot of the income they earn abroad from the IRS. So today, President Obama will call for tightening the tax code and closing loopholes that cost the government tens of billions of dollars a year.
Well, the government desperately needs revenue. So, revenue enhancers are going to look awfully attractive to Congress right now.
Jim Hines is a professor of law and economics at Michigan University.
You know, as it currently stands, the United States has the toughest regime of taxing foreign income of any country in the world. It hardly seems like a good idea to enact anti-competitive tax policies, and that's the problem.
The president's plans likely to face some opposition in Congress. Businesses have been lobbying for years for the feds to lower the top corporate tax rate. They argue the 35% rate is one of the highest in the world and puts them at a competitive disadvantage. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
All right, let's chat this morning with Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research, joining us from New York on the line. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for being with us. Seems like we have this two-headed spin machine going on here. On one hand, oh, everything's fine. On the other, let's raise some more capital. We talked about some of these banks that are needing more money. What's going on with the banks, Sam?
Well, Steve, it seems as if the report that's going to be coming out of the next couple of days might end up being almost anticlimactic. These banks have been analyzed and speculated upon seven ways to Sunday. We've seen reports in the financial media indicating that several of them will probably need to raise capital in order to make sure that they can weather the worst case scenario, which would be looking toward another 7% decline in housing prices, as well as an unemployment rate that reaches and exceeds 10%.
We got word this morning, Sam, that Bank of America said it does not have plans to raise the $10 billion in common equity, as the Financial Times had reported. So there's that out there. But also we have stocks now down just a bit. The Dow is up about a full percent at this hour. You know, this tax proposal put forth by the Obama administration, money in the short term, right? But does it generate another fallout later on?
Well, I think certainly it's a little bit of a concern. The government has stepped up. It has spent a lot of money in order to support the banks, in order to try to stimulate the economy and consumers, and they have to pay for it. So one way of doing that is looking for profits overseas that right until now, it's only when they get translated back to U.S. dollars that they can get taxed. But the Obama administration is saying maybe we can tap this reserve at this point to help pay for what we've already spent. I think that could be a concern on Wall Street, since we estimate that 48% of the revenues of companies in the S&P come from overseas operations.
All right. Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research, joining us from New York. Sam, thanks.
Good to talk to you, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We're set to get more economic barometers this week. Construction spending today, April unemployment on Friday, and things have been pretty sour at best. But there's one gauge of the economy that's been on an upswing, the stock market. And that lends itself to the question of whether that's a sign of things to come.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan is with us right now. Alan, do stocks really make a difference in the outlook of things?
Well, we can make that at least some of us have a lot more wealth than we did 2 months ago, you know, which is always nice. And that you can see there's a spirit of optimism created by the fact that stocks are up because that's the indicator most people see. And they tend to be happier when it's up than when it's down.
These stocks, namely the S&P 500, it's one of the leading economic indicators that the Conference Board looks at, right?
Right. And there's a myth in the world that when the stock market goes up, it means the economy is going to be strong, you know, a few months down the road. And that when the market goes down, it's forecasted economic weakness. And that's the reason that the Conference Board uses this as one of the indicators. However, there are at least 10 others, some of which have greater weight in the calculations than the stock market does. There's the difference between long-term and short-term rates. There are all sorts of things about construction and orders and applications for unemployment insurance. So the S&P 500, which is what they use, is one of 11 indicators and not the most important one. And that's because it is not terribly reliable.
So what indicator would you look at? What's the most accurate one, the one that you've looked at that you say, this is how I'm going to determine what the heck's going on?
I don't pretend to know what the economy is going to do in the short run, so I don't clutter what few neurons I have remaining in my mind by worrying about things like this because I know I can't predict it. I try not to get involved in things where I know I'm going to mess up.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan joining us from New York. Alan, thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's check Wall Street one more time. The Dow is up about 1.2% at this hour, 95 points. NASDAQ, S&P up about an average of 1%. And more at our website, The Scratch Pad, with our online host and blogger, Scott Jagow, inside marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.